Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we talked about tithes not being so much one-tenth of what you produce in a given year, but you're in a congregation of ten. The Teutons organized in that fashion. The Israelites organized in that fashion. Early Rome organized in that fashion. Ten families gathered together, and in a decen, or in this group of ten, we see after Christ, the early church is organized that way all across Europe and North Africa. But then comes this other church that centralizes control, centralizes power. It becomes top-down. It's fashioned after the thinking of Constantine rather than the thinking of Christ, which was returning every man to his family and every man to his possessions. That early church was continually acting all across Europe. We see these groups of tens in England. We see them in Germany. We see them in Italy. And they're gathered together. Ten families form a congregation. Ten congregations form what they called hundredsmen, or hundertchen in Germany. And then they had the thousands, which were ten groups of a hundred. And they organized themselves in this way to provide for emergency needs, both on a local level and on a national level. When there were huge famines, they came together to help one another. When they were cast out of Jerusalem, when 14,000 families were cast out of Rome by orders of Claudius that we see mentioned, they had to leave town, sometimes with very little, with nothing when they left Jerusalem. But they had a network of people that would receive them. I always remember the story where we had one of our congregations were right near a nuclear power plant in the Midwest. And it was flooding. And the water was lapping at the front doors. And they thought, well, if it goes in there, they could go Fukushima. There wasn't a Fukushima at that time. But since then, we've developed this terminology of Fukushima, go radioactive and start exploding. And immediately on the network, people were offering them houses all across the country, all upwind from the nuclear power plant, and they could come. And we're a small network. If we were really doing what Christ said, we would be prepared for almost any calamity. And they talk about that. The whole idea of picking seven, even eight, it says in the Old Testament. And of course, what is that we see right away? Daily ministration being neglected in Acts 6. They pick what? Seven men. Not ten, like you would do tens, hundreds. No, this is another purpose. And we explain what that's all about also on our website and in the Living Network, which everybody should be a part of. And in the Congregations of Record, we share even greater detail because these are people who are actually say, we're going to be there for each other. We're going to try to love one another, and we're going to actively try to do this. Still the perfect law of liberty, still free will offerings. It's controlled locally. It's not central, but it's connected so that the highest amongst you is the best servant. He's not the best ruler. He's not trying to rule over you. He's trying to facilitate charity and love amongst you. This is the kingdom of God. So we ask a question, how do you get to heaven? That's how the kingdom of God works. But how do you get to heaven? Well, from the beginning, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Both Matthew 6:11, Luke 12:31 say the same thing. What are they really talking about? You know, the word kingdom of heaven is only found in Matthew. You have the same exact quotes in other gospels. But they say kingdom of God. But in Matthew, you see the word kingdom of heaven. And I believe this has to do with the fact that Matthew was written in one language, translated to the Greek. And when they move, you know, Melchuk over to, or the kingdom, Baranos, Oranos, Basileus Oranos, over into the Greek, it becomes kingdom of heaven, kingdom of Oranos. But it actually means king of the world. Of all heaven and earth. That's what they're talking about. But that kingdom, the way you get into it, is you seek to do the will of the Father. You seek to do it in righteousness. You seek to love one another to serve one another, to fatten one another, to help one another. I say fatten because to honor one another. In the Hebrew, the same word for honor is the word for fatten. It means to bestow on one. When the Bible mentions God or gods, is it really just talking about unseen deities or statues, or what's it talking about? Gods, gods many. Well, the gods many is really clear. I mean, the word God means ruling judge. Even in the Old Testament, it's translated judge. At the time of Christ, if you went into a court, a Greek court, you would address the judge as theos. That's the word we translate into God. And we see in the Old Testament, Elohim is used in reference and even translated as judge. You know, if you take it to the judges and you make a record of it. You know, and we talked before when we talked about civil law and appeals courts, that's what the cities of refuge were, where they were appeals courts. The highest servants of amongst you were the appeals courts. It was up to the Levites. And what their job was is to make sure that the local courts that were deciding fact and law, how to apply law, like you see with Boaz when he gathers together to settle a matter of law concerning Ruth, he says, we're going to gather. What does he gather? Does he go to some king? No, he gets the elders to come together and sit down and decide an issue of law and make a record. These were societies, civil societies, where the power of and civil authority was in the hands of the people, because there was no king yet. When they chose a king, that was considered a rejection of God. You know, someone who could exercise authority. And he was even called foolish if he forced a sacrifice of the people, because that was against the commandments. Because it was always to be free will offerings to support your society, to support your community. And you get one kind of community when you do that. And when you decide to use force, you get another kind of community. And you don't want that kind of community. That's a bad kind of community. It's a destructive kind of community. It's the Nicolaitans. Does God hate? He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And that is something that we probably need to visit greatly, to find out what the Nicolaitans were. It comes from two words. Nicolaity. Nico meaning conquered. Laity meaning people. The conquered people. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. Revelations 2:6. What has the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Nike, conquered, Laos, people, what is it all about? What was the doctrines of the Nicolaitan? If we read in 2 Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozer, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. What are the wages? The benefits of unrighteousness. What unrighteousness? They used force to obtain those benefits. That's the way of Balaam. What does Balaam mean? Balaam actually comes from two words. Baal, which means lord or master, someone who has rule over you, authority over you, has conquered you. And a reference to the word people, the law, lam, meaning people. It is an expression of rank over people. People who what? Are gone under authority. They have been conquered. Nicolaitan and Balaam are two different forms of the same idea from two different languages. Both include the idea of rank, lordship, submission of the people to an exercising authority of the people, which God hates. Because, why? It exercises authority to provide the benefits, the wages of unrighteousness, the benefits of society through force. And until John the Baptist, everybody was doing that. But John the Baptist said, look, if you have extra, share it with those who don't have enough. And there will be enough to go around for everybody. Nicolaitans were charged with holding the error of Balaam. Because it's the same thing, casting a stumbling block before the church of God by upholding the liberty of eating things sacrificed to these idols, these constructions of men. What was an idol? Something man-made. You make idols. Most of the idols you make with paper today. You sign agreements. You create constitutions and covenants and contracts. And you must sacrifice because you've signed up. You can't unsign. You can't make that go away. You have to change your heart. You have to change your ways. You have to stop coveting your neighbor's goods through these institutions which you have created, these institutions of force, and start caring for one another simply by loving one another. Because the deeds of the Nicolaitan God hates. That's why Jesus says, you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other, but call themselves benefactors. If you have a need, you are to pray to the Father. If you go to church, to your congregation of record in the Living Network, and you have a need, you pray with your congregation that will somebody help me. Will you pray to God? When you really understand prayer, when you're really walking in the ways, when God sees you as a returning prodigal son, he knows what you need before you do. In your prayer, he will begin to provide it before you even say it. He will provide you with what you need. You have to walk in faith, and then he will provide it. So you gather together with your congregation. Why? For what you can get? No. So for what you can give. And then God will give to you. Why do you forgive? So that God will forgive you. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Where do we pray for our daily bread? Do we say, you there who exercise authority, take from my neighbor so that I may have welfare, so that I may have social security, so that I may have free medical help? Well, then you are not praying the prayer of Christ. You're not saying, our Father who art in heaven. You're saying, our Father who art in London or, you know, Ontario or the Washington, D.C. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, with thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. You should be gathering together with others and casting your bread upon the waters because if you love one another, and then hope that people will love you enough to provide for you in your hour of need. And then, when you do that, God will hear your prayers. And though there be no bread in the land, for you there will be bread. Though the grounds dry up with water from you, water shall spring forth. Why would people give up their rights except to take from others? And it is these covetous practices that curse your children, that make you merchandise. And from that, we must repent. And from that point, we begin to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless. For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summerlake, Oregon, 97640.